2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good evening. This is the 5 o'clock report. 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial free. I'm Maria Chaleos, sitting in today for Jeff Kaplan, KSL's top story this hour. The storm that rolled in is pouring a lot of rain on Davis County, snow in the Salt Lake Valley canyons, and it tried to blow away Utah County with all the wind. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz has details.
At one point this afternoon, the wind knocking down trees in Provo. The point of the mountain was also having some huge gusts. The National Weather Service says they were over 45 miles per hour.
We're also seeing some higher wind gusts, a lot in excess of 50 miles per hour, along I-80 in the West Desert, south of the Great Salt Lake.
Meteorologist Monica Traphagen says the wind should be easing up into the evening.
As the precipitation, you know, becomes well established across the Wasatch Front, then that'll become the primary focus, and the winds will die in the weekend at that point.
The rain will stick around through midday tomorrow. Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
The search continues for a man accused of shooting and killing a popular radio host in her Taylorsville home over the weekend. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has more.
Rocio Cifuentes can remember watching her sister, Gabby Ramos, fall after being hit by the gunfire. She tried to catch her sister, but she says Manuel Berciega Perea fired at her also. Then she thought about her nieces who were in the home.
I just say to my nieces, hey, lock the door and stay there.
Cifuentes says her sister was a fighter who spoke out against the problems that women face.
I'm super angry. Super sad.
Ramos' brother-in-law, Juan Hernandez, says this is the kind of domestic violence tragedy they only used to read about.
You see people and say, like, oh, he looks nice and he's nice, but we have to be alert.
Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
Anti-domestic violence advocates say this is a frustrating tragedy that could scar her family forever. Utah Domestic Violence Coalition spokesperson Liz Solis says people who call for help in cases of domestic violence are never to blame, even if there is a violent outcome.
And in cases like this, we also know that there's going to be a lot of trauma that people are going to experience who witnessed it, whether they're a child or an adult.
She says some people may downplay the abuse that they are going through because it's not physical, but many abusers start by taking control over their victim's life. Breaking news on KSL News Radio, a 31-year-old man from Spanish Fork was arrested after Utah County and Spanish Fork detectives found enough fentanyl in his home to kill over 16,000 people. Utah County Sheriff's Office says Corey Jolly also had a large number of handguns and a small marijuana grow in his bedroom. Jolly was also in possession of other drugs like meth, heroin, oxycodone, and more. KSL's top national stories this hour. Former President Obama is honoring General Colin Powell this afternoon. In a statement after the general's death, Mr. Obama called Powell an exemplary soldier and an exemplary patriot. Powell passed away from complications after contracting COVID-19. Powell, the first black U.S. Secretary of State, was known as a Republican but played a critical role in helping President Obama get elected in 2008. Governor Spencer Cox ordered the flags in Utah to half-staff immediately to honor and recognize General Powell's service. They will be at half-staff until Friday. One of General Powell's former advisors, Anita McBride, says his advice was irreplaceable.
The flag is flying at half-staff for this man. The people who have worked with him, you know, are providing these accolades, a window into his life and his service. And that the four leaders of the free world really depended on his advice and his stature and his courage.
Powell was the youngest person to serve as Secretary of State. Former Governor John Huntsman Jr. is reflecting on Powell's death, remembering his friendship with him while living in Washington, D.C. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz continues our team coverage.
Huntsman says Powell was an immigrant who changed the world. They were neighbors in Washington for a time, shared a love of cars and many personal moments.
As he used to tell me, I'm just a Jamaican immigrant who was lucky enough to get into CUNY in New York City and joined the Army after he said the Army saved my life.
Utah's former governor sharing some insights with Boyd Matheson about how Powell's presentation on weapons of mass destruction that turned out to be flawed affected him.
It broke the man in ways that I don't think he ever recovered from. Because his integrity was so very, very important to him.
Huntsman says if Powell were here today, he'd still say, never bet against the American dream. Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
Colin Powell's family says he was fully vaccinated, yet he still died from complications from COVID. But at 84 years old, even without underlying health conditions, he may have had more risk for COVID generally than someone who was younger. Our team coverage continues. Here's KSL News Radio's Becky Bruce.
Intermountain Medical Director of Preventive Medicine, Dr. Tamara Sheffield says the effectiveness of the COVID vaccine at preventing death goes down as you age. So for vaccinated people under 50, she tells Dave and Dujanovic their risk of death is basically zero. But over the age of 80, the shot is about 87% effective, meaning 13 vaccinated people out of 100 in that age range could still die from COVID.
Dr. Sheffield points out that that's still much better than without the vaccine at all. She also says she expects more boosters to become available for that age range soon. Summit County Health Department is getting ready to give COVID vaccines to 5 to 11-year-olds. The county is opening up pre-registration lists for parents to put their kids on, but says it'll help their planning process. The health department says they intend to administer the vaccines to children as soon as they are approved and available. KSL News Time, 5:05, time for a first look traffic on the 5 o'clock report with Ricky Meese.
The rain is causing delays on I-15 in Weber, Davis, Salt Lake, and Utah counties. Pretty much the rest of your valley freeways in Salt Lake County also seeing unusual slowdowns due to the weather. And northbound Highway 89, you're not left out either. You're going to see heavy and slow traffic on a wet driving surface northbound from Fruit Heights all the way up to the I-84 junction. And crews have just wrapped up this accident at Wasatch Boulevard and 4500 South. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
The 5 o'clock report is brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating and Air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time 5:06. It's not just local stores, it's a nationwide issue. ABC's Kaylee Hartung is reporting from the Port of Los Angeles.
Big retail CEOs are now saying they could run out of some of their best-selling items weeks before the holidays. And the CEO of the toy maker Basic Fun, he says the Tonka trucks and Care Bears that his company makes, they are stuck in ports, on railways across the Midwest, and on trucks on the highways.
All these shipping backups may not be worked out till sometime next year. Here's ABC's Mark Remillard.
The warning for holiday shoppers.
We know we're going to be running out, and we're not sure exactly when things are coming in.
Stephen Smith, CEO of L.L. Bean, laying out the reality of the shipping log jams affecting the shopping season. His advice, make your picks and purchases as soon as possible. Jay Foreman is CEO of Basic Fun, the company that makes everything from Care Bears to Tonka trucks, and says
they're literally in various places all over the world and all over the United States, from floating on container ships in the port of L.A. or off the coast of New York and Newark, New Jersey. They're on trucks traveling across the United States.
Experts say the sheer scale of the backups now mean the problems will likely last into next year. Noel Hasegaba, Deputy Director of the Port of Long Beach.
I have never seen anything like this. This is actually one of the smaller ships. The largest ships in service today can carry up to 24,000 container units. That could fill three shopping malls.
Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Godfrey Trucking Fleet Manager Neil Sebring says every trucking company in the country is dealing with driver shortages and rising gas prices. He says even if there wasn't a driver shortage, there are other issues to contend with.
Right now, there's a part shortage for trucks. So we have trucks that are sitting that we can't get parts for. So not only is there a shortage of drivers, but there's a shortage of trucks.
Sebring also says many port workers are quitting because companies are requiring their workers to get the COVID-19 vaccine. If people are leaving their jobs in record numbers, where are they all going? Companies that offer competitive pay with flexible schedules are faring better than others, and people are leaving their jobs for better opportunities. Department of Workforce Services senior economist Michael Jonfro says salaries on the lower end are picking up.
The lowest percentiles, like the 25th percentile earners, have totally tightened up to the 50% earners. So you see the low end starting to catch up to the average.
Jonfro says many boomers, are leaving the workforce and teens are entering the job market like they used to. KSL News Time is 5:08 and is time now for Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News. It's brought to you by Any Hour Services, electrical, plumbing, heating and air, anyhourservices.com.
I always watch the latest fashion trends for you, so I have to report on the latest style coming out of New York. Great grandma and grandpa. Head to the DI, folks, and be on the lookout for Sanibel old people pants, silky print shirts, and extremely sensible shoes, because the elderly are rocking the runway this spring. The Wall Street Journal says this all started in Taiwan with a husband and wife in their 80s. Such a cute couple, they own a laundromat and started posing in the clothes their customers left behind in the washing machines. 84-year-old Su Sui and 83-year-old Changhua Ji look so adorable they became Instagram stars, and mainstream fashion labels took notice. 20-somethings love that old people don't care what's supposed to go together. They don't need to impress anybody, and they wear these outlandish combinations. Patterned shirts and striped pants with an old-timey green spring jacket. Why not? Fur? Oh, the hairier the better.
I'ma take your grandma style. I'ma take your grandma style.
No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I have his hand-me-down?
Thank you, Lord. Jumpsuit and some house slippers.
Fueling this rise is Ari Seth Cohen, a blogger who writes a site called Advanced Style. It highlights people 60 and older wearing old hats and gowns and owning it. For the young, at this moment where nobody seems to know what to wear, time-worn fashion sense of the elderly makes perfect sense. So pull up your belt to your belly button and slip on those white loafers, and for one shining moment, you'll be on the cutting edge of fashion.
I wear your granddad's clothes.
Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News, only on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by Science Bank, your business banking home. You're going to see rain delays on almost all of your Salt Lake County freeways, whether it's I-80, I-215's belt route around the valley, the 201, or I-15. We're even seeing the rain slow down speeds along parts of I-80 in Parley's Canyon. But if you're traveling I-15 in Salt Lake County, your southbound delays stretch from downtown to about 114th South, and northbound slowing from 3900 South into downtown. The 201 westbound delays continue between I-15 to Bangor, and westbound I-80 slowing from Bangor over to the West Belt. Len?
We got the wet roads as you come in on I-80 in the West Desert, and gusty winds to watch out for. Also, a couple of crashes, one Bangor Highway at California Avenue on the right side, and crews still working on another one. That is on the eastbound ramp to the 201 freeway. The delays are easing here, but still wet roads. High wind gusts possible over the point of the mountain into Utah County, and wet roads throughout, keeping the drive slow. American Fork on to Orem. Steve?
And a wet drive if you're leaving Salt Lake City, westbound or northbound 215 on the West Belt, I should say, is pretty busy there from the I-80 transition ramp up to about 7th North. Northbound I-15 thick and slow from downtown Salt Lake City in spots all the way up through Clearfield right now. Really bogged down now at the Layton Parkway up to Antelope Drive. Northbound 89 delays between Oak Hills Drive and I-84, and a crash southbound 3500 West at 5600 South and Roy. That's on the right shoulder. Any Hour Services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air. If you've been putting off repair or maintenance projects around the house, they can help. Google Any Hour Services or visit anyhourservices.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. Here's Kevin Eubank with the hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, an hour-by-hour description as we head toward Tuesday.
Thanks a lot, Maria. As we head through the 5 o'clock hour, cloudy skies with valley rain and mountain snow. Temperatures right around 50 degrees, but falling quickly. We'll be in the upper 40s by 6 o'clock, mid-40s by 7 and 8. We'll stay there right on through 9 and 10 with ultimate lows in the upper 30s in Salt Lake City. That should keep this storm in the form of valley rain. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kevin Eubank with your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report.
It's 48 degrees in downtown Salt Lake City. KSL News Time 5:13. People who work in town outside Zion National Park are being priced out. KSL News Radio's Jessica Lowell reports.
Employee housing is sparse in Springdale, especially for people who work in the tourism and hospitality industry. A report from Zion's Public Finance Inc. found that housing prices are too expensive for employees who make $40,000 to $70,000 a year, and rentals are too, with few options between $900 to $1,500 a month. Many employees have to travel to get into work. In 2020, more than 1,000 workers came into town on a daily basis for their jobs. And because employees can't find housing, there's a high turnover rate, which creates strains on transportation and prevents a sense of community. The report suggests identifying open space to preserve so there's more clear boundaries on where they can develop more housing later. Jessica Lowell, KSL News Radio.
U.S. Marshals reportedly ambushed and attempted to arrest a man they thought to be Brian Laundrie. The New Yorker reports Severin Beckwith was awakened in his North Carolina hotel room as marshals burst in with guns drawn. Beckwith and his partner went a hiking trip from Georgia to Virginia along the Appalachian Trail. Now, Laundrie has been missing for over a month now and remains the only person of interest in Gabby Petito's murder. The White House today responding to reports that China may have tested a super-fast nuclear-capable missile that it rocketed into space. ABC's Andy Field has the latest from Washington.
The reported Chinese hypersonic missile launch took place last summer. White House spokesperson Jen Psaki saying the president is trying to de-escalate tensions with China.
We welcome stiff competition, but do not want that competition to veer into conflict.
Not clear what China plans to do with its new weapon, if it is indeed a faster hypersonic missile. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Trending on social media, how do you eat a grapefruit? Most people cut it in half, slice around the edges, or use that special serrated spoon. David Byrne of Talking Heads told Rolling Stone he just rips into it.
I just peel it with my hands.
Whoa, that's crazy, David.
Then rip it.
First thing in the morning, you're peeling a grapefruit?
With my hands and then rip it.
You're segmenting? Rip it in half?
Yeah, then I rip it. Yeah, take the skin off, then rip it in half. And then I'll only eat half of it. And I always have like a napkin or towel because it's just some bits drip.
I've never peeled a grapefruit. That's wild.
Not that hard to do.
Okay.
Okay, there are lots of people who peeled grapefruits, but that is what's trending on the 5 o'clock report. KSL News Time 5:16, the three things you need to know this hour first.
The family of a murdered woman in Taylorsville say she was a fighter full of light, and they're calling on the accused shooter to surrender, saying you don't hurt someone you love. I'm KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson.
Second, a bicyclist who was run over by a car multiple times has died. The same car hit 62-year-old Warren Watanabe as he was pulling out of a parking lot in Roy last month. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot is sponsored by Zions Bank, your business banking home. Here's Ricky Meese.
We do have an accident at 500 West, 1200 South, and rain delays on almost all your valley freeways. If you happen to be on the South Belt, eastbound slowdowns from Cottonwood Heights to I-15, that's westbound, and then eastbound slowing on I-215 South Belt Route from Redwood over to Murray. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Our storm has arrived. Look for moderate rain in the valleys and snow in our mountains. I'm Kevin Eubank.
It's 48 degrees downtown. Now time for KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. More cities, states, and employees are laying down the law when it comes to COVID-19 vaccine. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot warning police officers who don't report their vaccination status by Friday, they could be fired.
We believe in the science, we believe in the data, and we believe that the best way for us to put the pandemic in a rearview mirror is to make sure that we're getting all of our employees and all of our residents vaccinated.
Protests in California against plans to require school-age
children to be vaccinated.
On the streets of Huntington Beach, a large crowd, many holding American flags and anti-vaccine mandate signs. Lindsay McCoy among the crowd saying she is not anti-vaccine. She doesn't believe the COVID vaccines have been around long enough to be forced to give them to her children.
I think that it's my choice with my doctor. We should have a conversation and decide what is necessary for our children.
Organizers urged parents statewide to keep their children at home to protest vaccine mandates. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
A fake vaccination card's gotten San Jose Sharks forward Evander Kane benched for 21 games. The State Department is calling on China to start nuclear non-proliferation talks with the U.S. after Beijing tested a hypersonic missile. Spokesman Ed Price.
We've made very clear our interest in engaging with the PRC as responsible countries would and do in the context of these powerful weapons.
China claims the test was for a reusable space launch vehicle. Former President Trump is suing the House January 6th Committee and the National Archives. He's seeking to block the release of records of his communications in the days leading up to and of the attack on the Capitol. You're listening to ABC News.
Time now for the KSL In-Depth. Fully vaccinated fans are allowed back into Vivint Arena this season, and the Utah Jazz expect a sellout crowd for the home opener on Wednesday. And the NBA is taking steps to make sure that fans don't misbehave this season, so they partnered with the National District Attorneys Association. Billy West is the president of the association. He joins me now live on the KSL Newsline. And tell us how you hope this partnership is going to work and how it will deter unruly behavior.
Well, thank you for having me. We think this will be a good partnership, and we just want to show that both organizations, the National District Attorney's Organization that represents over 5,000 of the nation's prosecutors and the NBA are serious about fan misconduct. We want fans to go to the games and be passionate, but we don't want to see that cross the line. And it's really just a communication that we're working on between the NBA and the local prosecutor where an issue may occur, mm-hmm. where that relationship is put in place, where if something does happen that the case can move smoothly, they'll know how the process works, and we can take it from there.
So what kinds of charges are people looking at if they do cause these disruptions or they do cross that line?
Yeah, I mean, there's various most would be, you know, misdemeanor charges that could be, you know, assault and that sort of thing. And then unfortunately, if, you know, if some type of serious injury was to result, I mean, it could lead to a felony charge. So, I mean, it could be a serious charge. I mean, we know in many of these cases, a fan is just removed and that sometimes criminal charges are not warranted or not the appropriate step. But sometimes when that conduct crosses the line, unfortunately, it does violate some criminal statutes.
Yeah. What do you think is going on? Why are we seeing more of these cases?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if, you know, when you have one in another part of the country and it gets a lot of publicity, particularly with social media today and everything, if that's sort of encouraging it to happen in another venue. I don't know if that's the case or not, but, you know, I know that the NBA is excited and all of us as fans are excited to get people safely back into the arena and start having full arenas for games and that sort of thing. But we just can't have it cross that line and become dangerous for the players or, most importantly, for the other fans.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We appreciate it. That is Billy West. He's the president of the association, joining me now live on the KSL Newsline. Let's get you up to date on the drive. Triple Team Traffic is sponsored by Zions Bank, your business banking home. Here's Ricky Meese.
First tipped off to this new Taylorsville crash from a KSL traffic trooper. It's blocking two right lanes of traffic eastbound 4700 south as you're approaching Redwood Road. We are seeing the rain take a toll on your drive home. Expect possible delays on any of the valley freeways. It's really slowing down the drive southbound I-215's west belt from I-80 into Taylorsville and westbound I-80 from Bangor Highway over to Redwood Road. The 21st South Freeway is heavy and slow due to weather-related delays from I-15 to Bangor Highway. North and southbound I-15, you're going to see delays there anywhere from downtown all the way to Draper, and also rainy and slow on I-80 to the east, the east belt, and the south belt. Len?
Yes, on that South Belt, as you mentioned, it is slow from Taylorsville over to I-15 as well in the right lanes. And we've got a couple of those crashes still on Bangor Highway. One is at the 201 eastbound ramp. The other one is California Avenue southbound on the right shoulder. Now, high wind gusts are still possible heading over the mountain, the point of the mountain into Utah County. And the rain has returned down there. We've got very slow traffic in either direction, American Fork down to Orem. And now we have a crash in the mix in Orem. That is on Center Street as you get on the freeway there. Steve?
And yet more wet roads, delays on the West Belt, northbound 215 between I-80 and 7th North. We've got rain and road spray slowing things down on the northbound I-15 from downtown Salt Lake City in spots all the way up into Clearfield. Really packed in there at the Layton Parkway up to Antelope Drive. Southbound I-15 thick and wet between I-84 and Sunset. And you have those northbound 89 delays as well between Fruit Heights and I-84. And southbound 89 packed in from Harrison Boulevard and the I-84 ramps. Getting your furnace inspected by a licensed contractor isn't all that bad. Get your furnace checked for winter, ensuring it runs safely and efficiently. Message from Dominion Energy. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Kevin Eubank has the 7-day forecast.
Thanks a lot, Maria. Well, our storm has arrived, and we're seeing valley rain and mountain snow. That's going to continue overnight. Salt Lake City will have a low of 38, so most of the storm will be valley rain. A little rain-snow mix on the benches, but the mountains will see all snow, 6 to 12 inches through the end of the day tomorrow. The storm will taper off as we head through our Tuesday with a high of 54, partly cloudy skies and back to the 60s on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Mostly cloudy, low 60s on Saturday, and then our next storm looks to move in Sunday into Monday, another round of valley rain and mountain snow. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kevin Eubank.
Rain and 48 degrees downtown. You've been listening to the 5 o'clock report brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating and Air, anyhourservices.com.
This is Derek Miller speaking on business. Over 152,000 people are now working in Utah's high-tech industry, and Utah's tech-related employment is expected to grow more than any other state this year. Here to give us the inside scoop is Paul Ahlstrom, the founder of Tech Buzz News.
Utah's high-tech industry began in 1965 when David Evans left UC Berkeley and founded the Computer Science Department at the University of Utah. Today, Salt Lake City residents boast more high-tech degrees per capita than many other major cities, and Utah is home to the well-known companies like Angel Studios, Ancestry.com, Owlet Baby Care, and many more. Tech Buzz News shines a spotlight on important things happening in the Utah startup community. Come to Tech Buzz News to read about recent stories such as the three-part series on Utah's Polynesian tech entrepreneurs, or the recent investment by Brandon Fugel into resurrecting the woolly mammoth. Yes, you heard that correctly. Or specific news on Utah's tech firms. TechBuzz has it all. We are a Utah-based news agency collecting and distributing news stories to individuals and other news organizations about Utah's technology sector via our own website at techbuzz.news. Come visit us, join our newsletter, or read about us through our syndication partners.
If you're looking for information on Utah's tech sector, visit techbuzz.news and sign up for the newsletter. Paul and his team are doing real reporting on Utah's rising tech talent and their companies. I'm Derek Miller with the Salt Lake Chamber, speaking on business.
If you're thinking about claiming your Social Security benefits, stop. Your decision could trigger an avalanche of taxes, double your Medicare premiums, and cause you to forfeit additional benefits that are rightfully yours. Ultimately, it could cost you tens of thousands of dollars, possibly more. Learn how you could get the most out of your Social Security benefits on Retirement Solutions Radio this Saturday afternoon at 3 on KSL News Radio.
Missing teeth and dentures come with all kinds of inconveniences. There's pain and discomfort from ill-fitting appliances, the messy glue, and an occasional embarrassing moment that you really don't need. All that can be fixed in one day at Stubbs Dental. You can toss your dentures and have a full set of functioning, permanent teeth that will take your life, your health, and your smile to a whole new place. Feel confident and love your smile once again. Stubbs Dental has an expert team of doctors and oral surgeons with the experience and skills you've been searching for. Stubbs Dental was just named the best dental practice of Northern Utah for 2 consecutive years, and they're now Gebhardt approved. Receive 20% off your all-on-4 procedure and a complimentary, no-obligation consultation. Stubbs Dental also offers zero-down financing for well-qualified buyers. Stubbs Dental will change your life permanently. To find out more about your all-on-4 dental implant procedure and locations, visit StubbsDental.com. StubbsDental.com.
We are watching Utah's Money. It's brought to you by Central Bank. Amazon is hoping to bring on 150,000 employees in time for the holiday rush. To incentivize workers, Amazon is offering a $3,000 sign-on bonus and an extra $3 per hour for certain shifts. KSL Drives, Toyota will invest $3.4 billion to develop batteries. The world's largest car maker says it'll make a new company to build a new battery plant in the U.S. Reuters reports production is aimed to kick off in 2025 and is expected to create over 1,700 jobs. The Nintendo Switch has been the best-selling console for almost 3 years, but last month, the PlayStation 5 took the number one spot. Piscatella reports the Switch has still sold more units year-to-date. Wall Street was mixed today. The Dow ended down 36 points to finish the day at 35,258. The S&P was up by 15 points. The NASDAQ gained 124 points.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.